Welcome back. This is podcast number 4 of Fat Babies, Infants, and Kids. As you recall, this is a book available on as a paperback, ebook, or audiobook on KellyGregGREGG.com, or you can figure out how to get it on Amazon. This is going to be a segment on fatty acids. It's not nearly as interesting as the other segments, but to understand diet and breast milk, I'm going to have to talk about fatty acids. I've taken much of this information from my previous chapter in the book Diet and Health, in the chapter Fat Engineers. Now, I do reference the maintenance diet, which is the lifetime diet to keep us from getting type 2 diabetes. If things were the way I want, the child will be on this diet when weaned, and the mother would be on this diet, or a very similar one, when pregnant. If things were perfect, she would be on this diet before pregnancy. Anyway, this information will help you understand breast milk and diet. I am now going to talk about omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. This is a subject no one really cared much about since they were classified about 90 years ago, except in the last 10 years. Now I am forced to at least to give you the basics so you can understand what is going on. This is going to involve a lot of definitions and abbreviations, and maybe a little chemistry. The modern Western diet has brought this issue to the forefront, so now I am forced to tell you about it. In animals, fatty acids are either obtained from the diet or manufactured by the liver, adipose tissue, or mammary glands during lactation. In the diet, they can come from either plants or animals. Fatty acids can be made from carbohydrates and elements of other fatty acids. Fatty acids are either stored as triglyceride or transported in the blood bound to albumin. Cells absorb fatty acids, not triglycerides, and use them to make other things or for energy. Fatty acids are acids, which means they have a carboxyl group or COOH atoms on one end of the molecule. At the other end is a methyl group or CH3 group. An omega-3 fatty acid, or really any number, means a double bond between carbons starting with the third carbon from the methyl end, which is the omega end. We are going to talk about omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. This means the double bond starts at the 3 or the 6 carbon atom, but there may be several double bonds, maybe every other atom. This means we call them polyunsaturated. Saturated means no double bond. Unsaturated means at least one. Poly means at least two. We have two essential fatty acids, meaning fatty acids that we cannot manufacture from scratch and hence must obtain from our diet. These are linoleic acid, which is an omega-6 fatty acid and polyunsaturated with 18 carbons, and alpha-linoleic acid, an omega-3 fatty acid, which is polyunsaturated, which also has 18 carbons. Since these two fatty acids are obtained only from our diet, what we eat affects the balance between omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids in our body. Omega-3 fatty acids and omega-6 fatty acids act as competing substrates for the same enzymes. Hence, their ratio affects many aspects of homeostasis in our body, and this ratio is affected by our dietary intake of these essential fatty acids. Of particular interest to us is its effect on inflammation, obesity, and their role in the rising incidence over the last 75 years of autoimmune disease. I believe the rising incidence of autoimmune diseases, obesity, and diabetes may be tied directly to the modern diet, hence That is why I am going through the trouble of explaining this to the person who prepares the food in your diet. Omega-6 prostaglandins and leukotrienes are involved in the inflammatory process in arthritis, vascular disease, arteriosclerosis, autoimmune disease, and tumor proliferation. Competitive interactions with the omega-3 fatty acids affect the generation of these inflammatory molecules. We need both, but if the ratio of the two fatty acids is skewed too much, we are getting more of one or the other than is historically normal. We have the yin and yang, the balance between omega-6 and omega-3. A couple more definitions so you can understand the info in this area. The yin is arachidonic acid, a 20-carbon polyunsaturated omega-6 fatty acid. This fatty acid is the basis for the arachidonic acid cascade, a multiple signaling pathway that is involved in inflammation, cell growth, and the central nervous system. Most arachidonic acid comes from dietary linoleic acid, which comes from seeds, nuts, vegetable oils, and animal fats, the same place most of our fats come from. The yang is eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, which is a 20-carbon unsaturated omega-3 fatty acid. This fatty acid is the basis of a competing cascade to the arachidonic acid cascade. This is manufactured from alpha-linoleic acid, and the dietary sources historically are oily fish, various algae, animal fat, human breast milk. Eicosapentaenoic acid is not found in plants. Most of the time, eicosapentaenoic acid is abbreviated EPA. Docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA, is a 22-carbon polyunsaturated omega-3 fatty acid. This fatty acid is the most abundant omega-3 fatty acid in the brain and retina, and its deficiency is associated with cognitive decline. Its dietary sources are the same as EPA. The body manufactures DHA, or docosahexaenoic acid, from EPA, so the levels of EPA directly affect the levels of DHA. Your body can make these two from alpha-linoleic acid, or absorb them in the diet. It ends up it's not real efficient in making them from alpha-linoleic acid, but it can be done. It now appears that the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids for most of history was around 2 to 4 to 1. I'm sure this varied depending on diet, but this is the right ballpark. The ratio in the modern American diet is now 12 to 15 to 1. As we discuss, this throws off the ratio in your body and may indeed affect the yin and yang of the inflammatory cascade. How did we end up with this? This started with cholesterol and the low-fat diet. Cholesterol was deemed to be evil, and we had to get it lower by eating less fat, which we now know means eating more carbs, and lowering the amount of saturated fats in the diet. One way to do this was accomplished by switching over to vegetable oils, which contained a higher percentage of polyunsaturated fatty acids, mainly linoleic acid and omega-6, than the traditional oils. The main historical vegetable oil is olive oil, which actually is really a fruit, which is relatively low in linoleic acid. The main vegetable oil now is soybean oil, which is high in linoleic acid. Remember, linoleic acid is an omega-6 fatty acid. The U.S. soybean production has increased by about 900% in the last 80 years. Human consumption of soy was essentially about zero 100 years ago. Now, if you start looking at the ingredients of the food you buy, it is in almost everything. Not everything, but quite a lot. I think I am on solid ground saying we are consuming more soybean oil than at any other time in human history. It was easy to jack up the linoleic acid availability and consumption. Make saturated oils evil, and you can see how the omega-6, omega-3 ratio can go up so rapidly in the modern diet. As I said before, the ratio may be more important than the actual amount. It is easy to get more omega-6 in the diet, not so easy to get more omega-3. Now we are being told we need to take omega-3 supplements, despite mankind never even hearing about omega-3 till a few years ago. Perhaps the real problem is too many omega-6s. Modern man has greatly increased the food supply in the world. The soybean supply, most all now GMO products, has been able to supply oil and protein at a lower cost, so that now soybean oil is used all over our food supply and also used as feed in our meat supply, both cattle, chickens, pork, and fish. The use of animal fat as a source of oil has been demonized and fallen in use, especially compared to the diet of man for the last 4,000 years. Historically, animal fat had an omega-6, omega-3 ratio of about 2 to 4 to 1. Now the ratio is more like 16 to 1, secondary to animals being fed high omega-6 fodder. This is going to be things like sunflower oil, soybean, corn oil, and cottonseed oil. How does this affect the maintenance diet? Well, try to decrease the amount of soybean. I know you will not be able to get it to zero, but at least lower it. We do use oil. Try to increase olive oil or avocado oil or maybe even flaxseed oil. I personally disagree with the thinking that omega-6 oils are good for you, meaning that polyunsaturated fats are good for you. Omega-6 is not necessarily bad for you, but the elevated omega-6, omega-3 ratio is. Perhaps we should consider just eating less omega-6 rather than buying supplements. I don't mind eating oily fish, in fact I like it, but it may be more effective to decrease omega-6s than to try to increase your omega-3s. Maybe we can also change the saturated-unsaturated fat ratio. At the end of the book, I may discuss supplements. We did not need them for thousands of years, but things have changed. Our food is different in the processing, the nutrient content, and the levels of micronutrients, even the DNA through the GMO varieties. I may be forced to change my mind on supplements, as now I do not think we can return to the food we had the previous 5,000 years. We need to change this ratio, especially in pregnant women, and diet may not be enough. In the next podcast, which will be number 5, I will discuss breast milk. As I am doing this, it appears I'm just putting my audiobook into podcast form. Although not exactly, I do make changes on the fly when I'm doing the podcast. In any case, the next one will follow, and if you actually wanted to read the book, you would go to kellygregg.com.